Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for being with us this weekend. And Lord, we now pray that you would speak to us through Scripture and through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, what I'll do is, if those of you who weren't here, have been here for all the sessions, I'm going to recap a little bit about what we have been doing. Dawn, can I have the next slide? Thank you. What we've been working on is looking at church as team. So that's what we've been looking at. We're looking at church as team. And that actually we've been considering it and looking at it. And about that, we've looked at it, the fact that, which was hinted about, that we've got a personal responsibility and we have a corporate responsibility. So as church as team, we have a corporate responsibility to do something. And as individuals, that actually gives us a journey as well. And I've based it on this model, which is a fairly standard business model. And that's part of what I do. I'm a management trainer as well as a ordained minister in the Church of England. And so this model here is by a guy called Bruce Tuckman. And what it is about the development of a team. And so what we've looked at all the way through this weekend, we looked at the forming stage yesterday. That's when the team gets together, or where church gets together. And the fact that actually it can be messy and it can be outside of our comfort zone and it can be sort of very polite. But actually about the fact that we're all formed in the image of Christ. And what does that look like? And we have to know where sort of who we are in Christ, both as a church and individuals. We then moved on to the storming phase, which is where it all starts to get a bit messy. And that's because really we're a collection of individuals and we just bump up against each other and wind each other up. The bigger the church, the more we wind each other up. Takes us into a storming stage, is where we have conflict and where we sort of, you know, have factions and we have a lot of gossiping. But it's very creative. It's a very exciting place to be, apart from it's quite a difficult place to be. And then we talked about the fact that we sometimes personally storm, and the fact that we sometimes storm about things which are in our past, which anchor us in our past, and we can't move on till we actually put them aside. Then we moved on last night to norming, and we looked at that in terms of the fact that we have to establish the way that we want to be as a church. And we looked at the scripture about that, and we saw that actually we have to obey scripture, we have to be faithful to scripture. And we have to reorientate ourselves around what is Jesus wanting. And a big challenge yesterday evening for us as individuals was the norms of our life, are the ways that we live focused on Christ and making him known in the places that we are? Or do we not? How do we reorientate our norms? Because if the norms of our life and the norms of our church aren't about making Christ known, then actually people may be quite shocked and surprised when they find out you go to church. Or that as a church, the question is, what actually do you do? The fourth and final phase is the whole performing thing. And that's where it starts to get very sort of exciting. It's exciting all the way through for different reasons, but exciting because actually this is the bit where it starts to take off. The performing phase, which actually we have to go through the others before we get to performing. And what does performing look like? Well, in the business world, Dawn, can I have the next one? Thank you. In the business world, it looks a bit like this, that actually everybody knows what it is that they're supposed to do. Everybody has a role. And like this picture, it's not that everybody's going in exactly the same direction, because sometimes some people can't help other people. And in fact, there's somebody up there who's more vertically challenged, for example, and as actually being carried as that point. I didn't say a word, Chris. Actually, if you've got that issue, then that's prayer ministry later. Anyway, you just have to walk in at that point, sort of, you know. But they're actually, what's happening at this stage is the team are now starting to motor. And the team is starting to work together. They're pulling together in the right direction. They know what the goal is. They know what the vision is. And they're going for it. And the performing phase of it is that teams in the world of work that I have to deal with actually at this phase continually learn and improve themselves and each other. And the job of the leaders of that at that point in a performing team moves from being having to tell people what to do and make sure things get done as more actually sort of facilitating it. Because people want to do their best. They know what the goal is. They know what they're expected to do. And they just deliver it. And then they will look to drive standards up themselves. Whereas in sometimes in norming, the leader sets the standards and everybody tries to achieve that. Here, the team set the standards. Now, what does that look like in church? What does that look like in church? Well, that looks like in church, this sort of, you know, very much the ministry of all believers. And we talk about it, and what we talk about in church, and we say, well, we believe in the ministry of all believers. And we do. But sometimes that can become quite uncomfortable, particularly in the storming phase. Because in the storming phase, actually, it's very dangerous sometimes to actually release some people. Because you don't know what they're going to say. I'm not saying it's dangerous because they might say something bad, but it's dangerous because you don't know what they're going to say. It's a bit like, you know, it's a bit like the sort of the testimony or the open mic evenings, isn't it? As a leader of a church, and Chris will testify to this, when you do the whole, would you like to come and share some stuff? It is a walk of faith. Because when you see certain people walking down towards you, you think, oh, good. How long have I got? And so, you know, and there are one or two people who come to my congregation who actually, I don't let go of the microphone, actually. So he said, I never give them the microphone. So they, because I have it in my hand, because I know that they'll go on for a while. And it's risky, and sometimes it's encouraging. But it's about actually here in the performing church, this is far more positive. This is actually the church wanting to learn and to grow and to drive forward. And in fact, sometimes what they will do is they will push the leadership forward. Because they say, what about this? And what about this? And what about this? And we could do this and we could try this. And people bring people. The performing church is a place you're not frightened of bringing your friends. One of the big problems I think nowadays with people bringing their non-Christian friends to church is that we're frightened that it's not a safe place for them to come. That they're going to come, and it's not they're going to be offended, but actually if they come and they've got problems, we may not actually deal with them very well. And they're frightened of that. And actually when we're in the performing church, we're in a safe place because you're happy to bring people. Because you're thinking, it's done incredible things for me and it's a really great place and we love the people who go. And we'll bring people. So to me, the sign of a performing church is one that's starting to grow. You can grow at all the stages by the grace of God and through the Holy Spirit. But at the performing stage, people bring people because you're thinking, actually, I want to bring people because this is a good place to be. This is a good place to come. This is a safe place to come. And it's quite dynamic and it's quite exciting and people step up for ministry. And you don't have to say, yet again, we have issues in the youth work. Anybody got any gifts or talents or time we could ever have? Say, who've just finished serving on the DCC. But anyway, it's whatever. And, you know, that's not a word, by the way, anyway. So, you know, it's like... So it's one of those things that what the performing phase, what we've got here, is this church which actually starts to serve its community, each other, and actually we all get involved. We all get to play. That's the performing church. So what does that look like? Well, let's have a look at scripture. So Acts chapter 4. If you've got a Bible or an iPad or what else. And we're going to be reading from verse 18. Background to this is, I covered a little bit yesterday, is that Peter and John are up in front of the Sanhedrin because they have they've healed somebody outside the temple, which they didn't like. and I healed him in Jesus' name, and he didn't like, so they've pulled him in for a sort of ecclesiastical trial type thing. So this happened from verse 18. Then they called them, that's the leaders, called them in again and commanded Peter and John not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant David, our father David. Why do nations rage? Why do people plot in vain? The rulers, the kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will have decided beforehand what should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servant to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miracles, perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your Son, our holy servant Jesus. And they prayed, and the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers had one heart and mind. No one claimed to have any possessions that were their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them. There were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money from the sale and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostle called Barnabas, which means sons of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So some bits I want to pick out in this that actually I think are really relevant to us about performing. What does performing look like as a church? The first thing is that actually in the performing stage, we are, as church, bold and courageous. Bold and courageous. If you look at the passage, it says that the authorities told them not to speak or teach about Jesus, but they said, we can't. And we won't. They were bold and courageous, even though this could mean they actually would be expelled from the temple. This could mean that they would actually have, you know, potentially, very similar, they've seen Jesus fall foul of these group of people, and then the Romans were brought in on it. And that could have been somewhere they could have gone, because you could see the logical conclusion. But what they said was, actually, we can't stop this. The Holy Spirit has come, he has formed the church, and we are going to be bold and courageous as a church. We are going to go out and we are going to tell people about Jesus, even if it's unpopular, even if it's something you don't want to hear. And that's what the performing church is. It's bold and courageous. It stands up in front of people and says what it believes, whether that's popular or unpopular. It does things to bring the Christ into the places that they work and operate. And they do this boldly. The second thing that they have is actually they demonstrate it in word and deed. That all the way through the early passages, there is people explaining about what Jesus came to do. Peter, in the previous couple of chapters, does a couple of very big speeches. And he does a very big speech to the Sanhedrin. But also they demonstrate through deed, because actually here they're up and they're being tried for the fact that they healed somebody. So they didn't just go out and talk about it, they did it. And then they did even more, because actually then they then made sure that people within their community or people they're in contact with were never short, and they sold things, and they provided money for people, etc. So they did things through word and deed. The other thing they did is that they were acts of power. It tells us that that after they'd met together and prayed, the building was shaken. Verse 31. The place when the meeting was shaken, that actually they allowed the Holy Spirit to break in and do incredible things. They allowed the performing church, allow the Holy Spirit to have rule in the church. And they operated through signs and wonders. And they healed and they spoke. And that's what they did. Another thing we see from there is that actually there was a power of testimony, which we saw a moment ago. And the performing church does testimony, explains what it is that we've done and how God's been working. And it's so encouraging, isn't it, when you hear testimony. And we don't always do that. And I know it's something that you're doing more of. And I think it's really important that we actually give testimony. And I would really encourage people, because whenever you do testimony, there are people who actually, that's the way they're orientated. And so what they do is every time we have a testimony session, they will always come down and give a testimony. Okay? Because that's what they do. They remember things and they go and they give a testimony. Whereas actually for some of you, you're sitting there thinking, oh, I couldn't. And one of two of you said, oh, this is probably the first time I've done this. And actually, we should, all of us, be giving testimony. If God, we've seen God working in our lives as a church, we want to encourage faith. The best way to encourage faith is to tell people about what you see going on. I think it's really encouraging, isn't it? I don't know about you, but when we tell stories of what happened in church, it's really encouraging, and we get encouraged by that. But I think that the most encouraging thing is when people give testimony of what happens in places which are not church. So I thought the airport story was really good. Or work ones, where you actually talk about how a friend of mine used to work for an architect's company, and she prayed for a couple of people who basically came in with a bad neck, and they were healed on the spot, and one of them was filled with the Holy Spirit in the storeroom of the architect's company. And they started going to church after that. Okay? That is really encouraging. And so what we have to do is we have to tell the stories, the testimonies, which actually encourage us and build us up. And the more we encounter those things, and the more we share them, the more faith will be built. And the other thing we have to do, as they did here, is a performing church wants to pray together. One of the hardest things as a leader of a church is actually to mobilize people to pray. Now, I don't know if you're any different. We have a regular, every month we have a prayer meeting for the whole church. And actually, you know, it's a big church. And proportionately, we get about 25% along. And really, the trouble is that's not great, because it means that only 25% of the church are really committed to pray. Now, there's a whole series of other reasons why actually people don't always come. But the big question is, are we as a performing church committed to pray for our church, pray for our witness, pray for how we actually reach out into our community? And not just on Sundays, and not just personally, I mean corporately. It's really hard. And I know many churches who've cracked it. Because actually it's a really tough thing. But I think a performing church is one that wants to meet together and pray. Wants to meet together to pray for the work of the gospel. For the Holy Spirit spreading out in their community. And when we don't do that, it doesn't always happen. I was talking with Rich Thomas yesterday. I asked him about how his curacy is going. And he said it's going really well, but he feels a bit like he's cheated. And I said, well, why is that? He said, because he hasn't actually done anything. He does Sunday, so which you probably know. Rich, you think he will. That's no surprise. Anyway, it's he's not here to say it. He's on recording. So if you listen to this, that was for you, Rich. Anyway, so but what he said to me was that actually he was charged with doing things like getting into local schools. And so what he decided to do was to actually pray about it and get a group together and pray about it, not necessarily to go to the local schools and say, we'd like to come and work with you. And he said suddenly lots of opportunities started opening up and now they're wanting him in schools. And he feels a bit like he's cheated, really, because he's actually done nothing apart from get on his knees with a bunch of people and pray. At that point, God's opened a door which says, yes, you can come into this school. Whereas actually part of him thinks, well, he should have been going and knocking on the door of the school and saying, well, perhaps the church should be more involved? Now, I thought that was really encouraging, that what he's done is actually spent time on his knees before he did anything. And particularly as a man, that's not a particularly natural thing. Because we don't pray or think. We do, because that's what we're good at. Whereas actually if we say, I'm going to spend some time praying about it first, it's like, well, exactly how long do I have to do this praying thing before I get going? But the performing church prays. And the final thing is the performing church is generous. We see this all the way through Acts. The individuals are generous, the church is generous. And that is the sign of a performing church, that they're generous. They seek to bless people with what they've got. God gives you as a church staff so you can bless the people around you. This is a concept I know that you know. So that's the performing church. What does a performing individual look like? Can you go down, all the way down? Thank you, Dawn. And again. It's the same. Because actually this is a story, this part of Acts is a story which actually says, yeah, it's about a church, but it's also about a bunch of individuals. As individuals, we are bold and courageous. Because actually the church can be bold and courageous as a church, but if it's not full of bold and courageous people who are prepared to tell people about Christ, who are prepared to actually take Christ into their workplaces and to pray for people who are their neighbours, who are their families, to tell the most difficult member of your family who is the most anti-Christian about Jesus, then the church isn't going to. My father-in-law died a week ago last Friday. And he, for his whole life, railed against God. For his whole life, he railed against God because he lost his father when he was 12. And he was very angry with God. And he built up a series of very good and clear intellectual arguments about why God doesn't exist. And you can't even go to the perspective of, and over the years, I've had lots of conversations with him. I've known him for 25 years. And if you try and open the Bible and you say, well, the Bible says, he says, yeah, but that's a book written by men. So there's a whole series of arguments and discussions that we had. And 5 years ago, he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And we prayed, and he has lived a lot longer than we all expected. He died a week ago last Friday. 5 weeks ago, last Friday, he gave his life to Christ. Because actually we prayed and we prayed and we prayed, and one by one his arguments started to fall apart. And he gave his life to Christ. And he was the most difficult member of my extended family, of my family. And probably who was the one who you would see come to Christ least? It would be him. And he's now in heaven with God. He's now with Jesus. So we need to be bold and we need to be courageous. And my wife was incredibly bold. And what broke it was her boldness. she said to him about 8 weeks ago, she said, Dad, she said, in between now and sort of the summer, you're going to stand before God and he's going to say, who do you say my son is? And what's going to be your answer? And he said, oh, I hadn't thought of that one. And that was the thing that started it off. She thought, he's dying. I'm just going to go for it. And it means that he's now with Jesus. Let's be bold and courageous. Let us act in word and deed. I talked last night about us knowing the Bible, and we need to know the Bible. And we need to get into the Bible, but we also need to actually do stuff as well. And I know as a church you do that, and it's about us as individuals as well, doing stuff. And doing stuff that we feel that God has given us the gifts, the skills, and the opportunities to do. So it's looking for those and acting in word and deed. It's also about acts of power, that we need to trust more the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that the Holy Spirit is given to us all to act. And we need to trust that and go with it. If you know somebody, you meet somebody, and actually they're not well, then offer to pray for them. Don't sit there and think, well, that's not really my thing. Acts of power, the Holy Spirit will work through you. A performing person also gives testimony, tells us, and prayer improves your prayer life. Be more conscious about your prayer life and how you pray. And finally, it's about generosity. And I'm not here just talking about cash, because every time we talk about generosity, we can think about money. But actually, generosity is about your attitude, your time, your gifts, your talents. And some of you are incredibly generous, though you probably don't give a lot of money, but you're incredibly generous, because that's what a generous heart is. Now, I know that the last couple of years for this church have not been easy. And while I was preparing this and was praying, I was away at the beginning of the week with one of my daughters. We went up to the Peak District, and I was driving, and I was listening to some music, and a song came. A song came onto on my iPod, and it spoke to me, not because it's a song for me, but it's a song for you all as a bunch of individuals and you as a church.